right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matty Juice! What is going on, Tommy? It has been quite a while since we've chatted, and I'm excited. I'm excited for today's episode. I hope you are as well.
I am. I can't even say words. That's how excited I am. This is going to be such a banger because guess what? You get to do the talking because we're going to be doing a retro review of Blasphemous, a pretty fun game. I'll let you be talking about it. But, you know, I played it back when it came out in 2019, 6 years ago. It's a long time ago. I was in my 20s. I will say that. And that's all you need to know. What point in my 20s? You may never know, but we do have a great episode for you, despite me being in my 30s. And first off, we're going to catch up a little bit. What's going on? What's new with you?
Yeah, just, you know, really had a great week. I don't know. Not too much. We started watching a new show called The Studio, which is on Apple TV. I don't know, Seth Rogen's in it. I think he's also like an executive producer or creator or something like that of the show, I think. But watch the first episode of that. Apple TV has just been having great shows for us. Like we just really love everything, almost everything that they put out. And this one, at least first episode, was great as well. It's about the is it about the music industry or the movie industry? One of the two. For some reason, it could be both. Yes, it's about a legacy Hollywood movie studio. That's what it is. Bryan Cranston's in it as well. Plays a really great character. So, it's a cool show. It's a cool show so far. We're only one episode in. I think there's only two episodes out right now. So my opinion could change. But so far, so good with The Studio. Maybe it'll eventually be in a rec room. We'll have to see how the first season goes.
Yeah. I mean, I think you were telling me about that the other day. I have so many shows I need to watch. Still just, you know, watching The Sopranos when I can. And it's just great. It's just great. I had an okay week. Both me and the wife had a long, arduous week, I think. So what we did, I told her, I was like, listen, you know what we're doing on Friday? She said, what? And I said, what did I say? No, we're going to go somewhere and we're going to have margaritas and we're going to have Mexican food and we're just going to have a bunch of appetizers and just sit there, get a little buzz going and just eat cheese and gab, you know? And that's what we did. We went to this place actually over by where we used to live because that's the closest Mexican restaurant to us that has a liquor license. So, you know, we were like, all right, you know, I mean, it is good there. So sat there, had a pitcher of margarita. And then, you know, we got some appetizers, like the guacamole that they make at the edge of the table. Yeah. Fun stuff. And then what else did we get? We got some like, basically like jalapeno poppers, but they were better. Promise me. I promise you. I promise me too. I promise everybody. They're really good. And then we got this thing called queso fundido, which is just like a queso dip, but like it had chorizo and like mushrooms. And it was just like so good. Like the cheese pull from it was like almost like you're like a magician pulling like the stuff out of the hat.
Damn.
It's like, when does the cheese end? And my life begin. And It was tasty. We also got a quesadilla to split as well, a little chicken quesadilla. So we were feeling good. We're eating, you know, chips, salsa, guac. We were just like, you know what, we earned this, and it was a good time. It was a good time. So I'll shout out the restaurant El Patron, Glen Gardner, New Jersey.
Oh,
you guys are doing good stuff over there, across the street from one of the best barbecue places I've ever been to, and I know. Anybody from the South would be like, there's no way there's a good barbecue in New Jersey. There is. It's the real deal barbecue. It's literally a roadside like hut that like only open like 2 days a week. But you get it. You're just like, oh, this is so good. So Shout out the Real Deal Barbecue as well.
Hell yeah. But 2 days a week. Damn.
Maybe three. Maybe Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I think.
Yeah. Still good, you know, like, yeah. You know.
And I don't think they're open still. In the winter. They only do it in the, like, spring, fall, and summer. So.
Yeah. Cool.
Gotta get over there. So.
It's the real deal.
It is the real deal. Now, we do have a great episode for you. We're going to be talking about Blasphemous. But first, yes, you heard right. We have a Discord. The Juice Heads is a great place to hang out. It's in the show notes below. Join it. Get in there. Talk to us. We're lonely. No, we're not. There's thousands of people in that Discord. Please check it out. And, you know, it's just chill. Have a good time. It's a good time over there. So take a look. But also, what is RuneScape doing?
RuneScape's doing everything, Tom. So RuneScape, or Jagex, I guess is the name of the developer. They are making a new RuneScape game called RuneScape Dragon Wilds. It's an open world survival game, co-op, 1 to 4 players. They released a little bit of kind of snippets of gameplay, but nothing, you know, in terms of like a full game session or what that might look like, but just little snippets here and there. It's had quite a bit of hype around it. It actually had an alpha or a pre-alpha that was under NDA. So there's been a few people that I guess that NDA has been lifted now that they've announced the game that have come out and said that it's awesome. They say it's really, you know, there's a few things here and there that I think they could fix, but the overall sentiment has been really positive. So I know this was floating around my group chat with some fellas, and they were very excited for it. Apparently, there will be an early access release on PC sometime this spring, so soon, and then a wider launch, including console, sometime in 2026. Now, I have seen a little bit of negative feedback about, apparently, you'll have to log in through an Epic Games account in order to play this. That's a whole nother story of why people were even really that upset about that. But apparently, I don't know if Jagex is owned by Epic or they have some sort of Epic's invested in them. I'm not really sure, but it does look really cool. It's right up my alley. I think I can definitely get some fellows to play this one. But yeah, RuneScape Dragonwild sounds pretty cool. And you get to fight dragons, so.
Yeah, this is actually really surprising to me because, like RuneScape doesn't need to be doing anything. I feel like they got a great player base in both old school and their, like, regular updated version of RuneScape. I'm surprised about the Epic Store news, to be honest, because, like, never really needed that for anything else they've ever done. So maybe Epic kind of threw them some funding there to get them to kind of make it a little bit of an exclusive of sorts. I mean, it's on Steam, so I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, apparently it'll just be like how if you launch like an Xbox game these days through Steam, it'll still make you log in through Xbox. Gotcha. So apparently, I think Rocket League does that now. If you're a new player, you actually launch it through Steam, but have to log in through Epic because Epic owns the Rocket League devs, I believe now. So. Yeah, interesting. I mean, that I don't know. I always think it's ridiculous that people get that upset about that sort of stuff. You know, people brought up concerns about like account security and things like that, and I'm like, I've never had an issue with that sort of stuff, but I think it looks pretty cool. I hear that thunder.
Yeah. I ain't getting home tonight. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's storming over here. So the Epic thing, I don't care, like, right?
Yeah,
like Epic does Fortnite, right?
Yeah,
the like the biggest game in the world.
Yeah,
so account security is a concern there.
I have no idea. I guess because of like the Epic Store just doesn't have as good of, you know, they've had a worse history than Steam maybe in terms of like breaches. I'm not really sure. I've never felt like I've been affected by any of that if that did happen. I know there's some people that do complain, you know, the Epic, like when you play a game on Epic, there's not as many features as on Steam, which is true, you know, but at the end of the day, like, I'm just going to play a game I like. I don't care where I have to sign in, really. Or, you know, it's not like I wouldn't play 33 Immortals because it's only on Epic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If anything, it kind of entices me to get more games on Epic because those devs get a bigger slice of the pie. But anyway, that was just that was literally the only negative feedback I saw about this RuneScape game on Reddit. So otherwise, people have been really excited to see, you know, them doing something different. But apparently it also does still have kind of the core essence of RuneScape in terms of like questing. And leveling all your different abilities. I've played maybe a little bit of RuneScape back in the day, but I've watched more of it than I played. So, but I would definitely play this one.
I'm really intrigued by it. It's because, you know, played RuneScape. I'm gonna have to see how it is. Like how much of RuneScape is it at its core? It's not gonna be point and click. Right, it's probably gonna be a little bit bigger than that. I mean, it already says your Xbox controller has partial control support with it, so I don't know. It's very cool. People are gonna love it, probably. I mean, Jagex has been kind of king of that realm for a long time, so I can imagine this being the next big thing. I mean, like, it looks to take the RuneScape MMO feel and just mash it with Valheim or something like that. So I think a lot of people are going to dig that. So pretty interesting. But
yeah.
I mean, I think we're going to see more of that kind of like big jump for some like big names. I think it just makes sense. Like, you can't just do the same thing forever because player bases will ebb and flow, right? You need to be exciting for the players out there. Now, do you want to talk about Blasphemous?
I do. Yeah, I will. So yes, I played a game called Blasphemous this week, and this game actually came out September 10th, 2019. So I know Tommy mentioned that earlier in the episode. So yes, this is kind of I wouldn't say retro, but a little throwback review of a game that, honestly, you know, by the end of this review, I feel like I should have played sooner. But I'll get into all the details of that. So this is developed by The Game Kitchen, published by Team 17, who's a pretty popular publisher of some other games that I just can't think of at the very moment. But I will look right now. Hell Let Loose, I know, is a popular one. You got Overcooked, Sworn, of course. So they've definitely had some good publishing track record. I don't know. it's available actually on everything: Steam, Xbox, PlayStation, and Switch. It's $24.99. I was actually able to pick it up during a Steam sale for $5. So quite the steal there. I would recommend, you know, before we get into the ratings and everything, but I would say might as well just wait for a Steam sale. They happen, you know, a few times a year, and going from $25 to $5, I say, is pretty good. So be on the lookout for that. It is a brutal action platformer with skilled hack and slash combat set in the nightmare world of Custodia. Explore, upgrade your abilities, and perform savage executions on hordes of enemies that stand between you and your quest to break eternal damnation. Oh, snap. So let me get the gameplay up here real quick and we'll get right into it.
Yeah, I mean, just to give some context, you know, we had to record this ahead of time. So we're talking about, oh, let's do a retro review. And this was on sale. And I was like, did you ever play this? And Maddie's like, no. And I'm like, this is a game. Well, I knew that it would be something that would be interesting to you. So I was really interested to hear what your thoughts were, because I played this when it came out and I had a great time with it. And, you know, as somebody who played like a lot of like Metroidvanias and stuff like that, never really played like the Souls like stuff. So, you know, I knew that was your kind of background with it. So, you know, I was just really excited to see what your thoughts were. So, yeah. Go ahead and talk about the gameplay.
So this game is very much a Souls-like, but I'll even take it a step further. This game feels like a 2D Dark Souls. You know, sometimes Souls-like games don't look like Dark Souls, right? Another Crab's Treasure is a good example of that. Or even another game that I've played recently called Tyrant's Realm. I think I wrecked it a few episodes ago. Souls-like, but definitely isn't, you know, really truly inspired by Dark Souls. This game really is. There's a few different mechanics in this versus in Dark Souls, but I feel like this is the closest thing I'll probably ever get to play that is a 2D Dark Souls. You know, we'll talk about the art style, which is a big part of it, but everything from the combat, the pacing of attacking enemies, it's very similar to Dark Souls. Actually, it required me to get a little bit of an adjustment, because when you play Elden Ring and Dark Souls, you obviously have like a 3D environment. You can run around, you can kind of approach enemies a little bit different. You can kind of, you know, run around them, basically. In this game, you can't. You're either on the right of them or the left of them. So you kind of have to maybe sometimes play a little bit slower because of that. But, you know, it starts out just by really introducing you to the different mechanics. You've got your health bar. You kind of have this mana bar, I'll call it. They call it something else, like Fevror or something. I'm not really sure what it is. And when we talk about the story, I'll explain kind of the how weird the story is, and also why I think it reminds me so much of Dark Souls. But you got your mana bar, and then you have two flasks that you start out with, which is for healing, and then you have an attack button. You can upgrade your skill tree and get like a kind of a heavy attack. You can get like these different spells, which is really cool, that you can use. They have different names for them. I think they're called prayers. And then you can also unlock different things that affect your stats, which is cool. So yeah, it has like a decent amount of depth in terms of like how you can sort of like build your character. Once you unlock a few, you know, enough things, you unlock things just by discovering them in rooms, very similar to how it works in Dark Souls. And then as far as like enemy design and boss battles go, just feels so much like Dark Souls. Sometimes like the bosses have more complex, you know, fighting patterns. You've got those enemies that are pretty easy to kill, but very frustrating attacks that sometimes you just can't run through things. You have to actually, you know, if you die, you have to restart just like you do in Dark Souls from the beginning, from your last save. And sometimes you just can't run through the enemies to go get your body again, which this game has a system that's like that. So I think they do all those things really well. My issue sometimes with the gameplay is maybe because of, you know, it's only a 2D kind of, sometimes it makes the combat like not super exciting, just because, you know, I guess until you unlock maybe more prayers and you can kind of have a little bit more variety, but at least in the beginning, I was like, okay, parry, like attack, and I kind of move on. I don't know. When I play games like Dark Souls or Elden Ring, maybe it's because of the 3D space there, but I almost feel like sometimes I don't have to fight something. I can just be like, oh, I'll save this guy for later, or I can like try to cheese him. Like, I didn't really feel like, you know, this game, it doesn't have those sort of things. It's because it's a two-dimensional game. It's a platformer. So that's just something to keep in mind, that like sometimes the combat can feel a little bit one note, but then, you know, maybe you get introduced to a new enemy and that kind of spices things up a bit. But I will say, like, overall, like, the combat feels great. It's just sometimes I guess the variety of enemies can seem a little lacking in certain areas, but I love their designs, and we'll talk about the art. Like, this game has fantastic art, just to kind of, you know, get ahead of it a little bit there. But yeah, that's just kind of how I feel about the gameplay. Overall, I really did enjoy it. I will continue playing because I think the gameplay is pretty solid, and I'm curious to see kind of the variety that I get the more that I play. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Tom, what do you remember from playing? Did you play this back in 2019? And you haven't played it since, or like how long has it been, would you say?
Yeah, I haven't played it since. I actually did get it on mobile, in anticipation for my anticipation for my trip. Excuse me. And I really liked it. I mean, you know, at the time, I didn't even really know what a Souls-like was. So, like, to me, this was like, oh, this is just, like, a brutal Metroidvania that I'm playing. It was, like, pretty difficult. The story was very interesting. And the whole aesthetic was, like, something that I really kind of liked. So, I remember it. Now, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Like, you mentioned that it's one note, but also, like, you don't really have the option as much to, like, kind of run away from these enemies like you would in a regular Souls. Like, did you find that this was more challenging than like a traditional Souls like because of that?
I would say I felt like it had a more of like a Metroidvania challenge than a Souls like challenge, if that makes sense. Where, yeah, maybe you have to take things a little bit slower than you normally would. And there's a decent amount of exploration in the game too. So it's not like every single time you're entering a room, you're going to be fighting, you know, a bunch of enemies. So I think that's, you know, a plus for sure. But, I don't know. I don't know if so far I would say it's more difficult than any of the Souls games that I played. It just feels different in the type of challenge that it is. You know, I think what makes this game truly a Souls-like, you know, we'll talk about the art, but like just the systems that they're using, you know, and the fact that like the enemies are a little bit sparse and like hit pretty hard, even like basic ones, like all those kind of things remind me of it, you know, being like a Souls game. But in terms of like the actual difficulty, I think because the combat is like, you know, restricted, or quote unquote restricted by like 2D, that it just feels different, the challenge versus like a Souls game. Maybe it's because I have that option in Souls games. So like if I, not that I'm running away all the time, but like sometimes you're like, oh, I'm not ready for this. Let me like go try somewhere else, or let me go grind a little bit. I don't like get that vibe in this game where I'm like, oh, I'm getting my ass kicked. Let me go back to this area and I'll just farm it a little bit. Maybe I'm just not at that point yet in the game, but I played a decent amount of it and I don't think that that's like an option. So yeah, it's just kind of like a different method of challenges.
Yeah. Not to my recollection, it is not as like, it doesn't have really that level up system, that like your traditional RPG has,
Or
is it like a true Metroidvania where like you are doing, or you are able to do the one thing that you're able to do until you find the upgrades?
Basically, yeah. There's a skill tree, you know, like I unlocked, the ability to like, when I hold my X button down, it does like a bigger attack, you know, instead of just the basic one. So yeah, it's very much more like a Metroidvania, than a Souls like where you're like, you know, leveling up like specific attributes and like finding different weapons to use, things like that. Like it's definitely more in the Metroidvania vein.
Yeah. now, in terms of the story, I mean, from what I remember, this is a pretty robust kind of world that they kind of built for this character.
Yeah, it's so the thing with the story here is it's weird. It's very much, it reminds me of a Souls game where like the way they talk, you know, the information they're giving you is not clear. It's almost like they speak in riddles sometimes, but there is some groundwork that they do lay down. Your character is called the Penitent One, geez, which is, you're a survivor of like this massacre that happened. And now you're kind of dealing with like this cycle of like endless penance and death. You're basically trying to like uncover a truth. And I just wrote some notes down here. There's like a curse on the land. This is what I'm trying to like pick up from like what they're saying to me, because they are speaking a little bit in like riddles. Or maybe it's not truly riddles, but it's just not like super clear to me. Maybe that's my fault. But typically in like these Souls games, you're just like, what is this person saying? like it's your maiden list, you know, or like something like that. So yeah, you're trying to like discover a truth, trying to like break this like divine curse. And it kind of has this like gothic atmosphere to it, but also like notes of like Catholicism, you know, we'll get into that in like the art as well a little bit. But it's a very grim kind of story. You know, it doesn't feel like you're the hero. It just feels like you're like stuck in this cycle of doing like your penance. And that's kind of how it feels like in the Souls games too, is like, you know, I think in Elden Ring, like your character is called the Tarnished. And then like in other games, it's like, you're not a hero. You're just like this, like, you know, this like defeated person that has to try to overcome all these different things. So it definitely has that vibe to it from a story standpoint. And what I appreciate also with the story is, even though it is a 2D game, they actually do these really cool like 3D cutscenes, which is nice, which is like unexpected. And sometimes it can be for like, you know, if you discover something new in the game, it'll have like a little cutscene, which is like similar to the way it works in like the Souls games. But obviously it's a bit of a more like jarring discovery when you're playing this, because you're going from 2D to 3D. So it's cool that they did that as well for the story. I think it does add a lot, and kind of almost helps you understand this world a little bit more of like how weird it really is. So yeah, I think they did a great job with the story in this game, because it's catering to like me and people that like, you know, these kind of weird games where maybe I'm not really following the story too much, but like, it's interesting to listen to. I'm just like, well, this is weird. This guy's weird, you know? So yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I don't know if you had a different experience with the story, if it's like something that you you followed maybe, but yeah, curious to know what you think.
No, I had a pretty similar interaction with the story. I mean, the cutscenes, I mean, I remember, you know, the scene where you put on the helmet, right? That's what actually grabbed me to want to play this game. It was not even gameplay. It was like this illustrated, like, terrifying helmet and blood coming out of it and putting it on the head, and you're just like, what is this game? And then I saw it was like a Metroidvania. I was like, this looks awesome. So like from what I remember, I mean, it's been like 6 years since I played it, but you know, I'm kind of excited to jump back into it on mobile. So like, it was dark but like really spoke to kind of this era of like penance, basically. That's all like the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, was just all about either you pay us or you're going to have to pay the penance in another way, right? And that was is very interesting from a story standpoint, I think. And then having this like totally grotesque kind of character who is a lot like the Da Vinci Code. There's that one character that like always flaying themselves.
Yeah.
You know, just that is always so intense and kind of really speaks to the bizarre nature of the church sometimes. So like I really liked that as a like an overarching theme. So yeah.
Yeah.
But the art though, I gotta know. What'd you think here?
Oh. Yeah, I think the art's fantastic in this game. I mean, obviously inspired by like the Gothic era and like obviously like Dark Souls, medieval kind of vibes to it. But there's just like so much that's like well done. Like, I love that like the character kind of almost looks like three-dimensional. It has like a little bit of depth to it, but then like the environments you're jumping on, the background is two-dimensional, but there's also like some layers to it. Like, you can even see it right now if you're watching the video. It's not, you know, you can see the layers of trees in the background, so it makes it feel like you're truly in this like dark, vast forest. And then now you're in like the city, and you can see that there's like kind of different layers of you know, the buildings behind you. I think they just do a really great job of like all the detail that's in the game. It's so detailed. Even when you're looking at the UI, up in like the top left, you got your health bar, you got your flasks, your like mana. It's not just a bar that's up there or something basic. It's just like ornate, like fits perfectly with like the vibe of the game and the rest of the art style for like the actual gameplay. Same with like up in the top right. I don't know if they call it souls. I don't remember what they call it in this game, but the counter that's kind of up there fits perfectly with the vibe of the game. So every little detail like that in the menus and everything, you know, they've got the font is kind of this like medieval looking font. Like everything is just so well done from the art standpoint. Enemy design, fantastic. Really appreciated also that like and this is kind of more on like the gameplay side, but also ties into the art. There's like certain enemies you come across that have these big like stone shields. And your character, you don't do a roll like in Dark Souls games, but you have like a dash. So you can normally like dash through enemies, which is really helpful. But for these enemies, you can't because they have a big stone shield. So, you know, that from the art standpoint, that makes sense. Like the first time that happened, I was like, oh, like I thought I could, you know, just get behind them easily. But no, I actually have to jump over. So there's like details like that that do matter that are. Just satisfying to me because I'm like, oh, it's adding a little bit more variety into like defeating these types of enemies. And it's not just like a hack and slash with like the other ones. So I want to see like more enemies like that where like I have to do something a little bit different in order to beat them. But yeah, art style, I mean, just a 10 out of 10 for me. I think it looks fantastic. I'm excited. I know there's a Blasphemous 2. I'm excited to see where they kind of take it from here because I think it could get really impressive as well with a second game. I haven't looked into that one. So, you know, I know it's going to be a similar art style, but I imagine there's probably a lot more they wanted to try with that one versus this one. So, yeah, love the art. You've already kind of mentioned the art almost is like what hooked you. What'd you think about it?
Well, it's just like there's so much care put into it and really just like every frame of this game is a piece of art, right? And you know, it's so impressive that the gameplay is also good when like, you know, all this care is going into this game. And I'm excited to actually play Blasphemous 2 as well. That came out in 2023, just for whatever reason. We didn't have the podcast yet, so like I just wasn't playing as much, just pretty busy. But you know, yeah, this is just such a, it's one of the better looking games probably we'll ever cover, right? Like it's so hard to beat this level of detail in a like a pixel art 2D game, which is so impressive, as well as the boss design and the character design. It's just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely one of those games where if I didn't know about Blasphemous, I would be like, this is a 2D like Dark Souls. But if I, now that like I, you know, have played it, it's a very recognizable art style, in my opinion. You know, if I saw like a trailer that looked like this and before it showed the title, I'd be like, Blasphemous 3? Is this Blasphemous 3? because it just looks so great. So yeah, they did a fantastic job with the art in this game. Very also impressive.
The penitent one design alone. Yes. I mean, this is an iconic kind of like character design, right? I mean, I would challenge any listener out there to just look up cosplays of the penitent one. They're amazing. And you see that helmet, you're like, yeah, this is Blasphemous. Pretty sick. So, yeah, I don't know. Pretty awesome. Now, now, you'll have to remind me on the music and the sound here because that is something I don't really remember as much because it's been so long. How are we doing on that end of things?
Yeah, that the music was something in the game where, you know, maybe I would like it like a little bit more of it. It's got like these medieval vibes. That's like the best way I can describe it.
A lot of organs and stuff like that.
Basically. But I just felt like it could have been a little bit more like epic, and which I know is like a probably a really annoying note for like if the sound designer was like listening to this, like, what does that mean? But I just feel like everything else in the game like lends to it being like a really epic experience. But I don't know, the sound, I wasn't like, or the music, I should say, I wasn't like super blown away with. I was just like, yeah, this is kind of the music I expected in the game. Now, maybe as I progress, there's going to be more interesting kind of music notes in the game, or sound, you know, just music tracks. But yeah, I don't know. I wasn't really like super blown away by it. The sound effects, though, I think are great. You know, there's a parry in the game, so that's really satisfying when you hit that. You know, just the way it sounds when, like when you're attacking things. There's even like this execution move that you can do, which is satisfying. I think one of the characters I did it to, like, I like you hit the execution and it like cuts off its wings and then it like stabs it. I'm just like, oh man, that's like brutal. But like the sound was right there with it. So it added to the brutality of it all, which was well done. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's like the enemies having more sounds would add to like the overall vibe of the game. I know we talked about the music, but like in terms of like, I don't know, I find that like in when I play Souls games, you know, you can hear the enemies like making weird or like whatever it is, or like, or some of them maybe even talk like they're insane. They just like talk like, you know, like I'm gonna find it, I'm gonna find, like, you know, it just like gives you like kind of like Gollum sort of vibes a little bit. I don't know, something like that in the game could be really cool if I wanted to add something to the sound. Maybe that's something they did more in Blasphemous 2, but I find myself in like Souls games, like, I don't know, somewhat entertained by like what the enemies are saying sometimes before you fight them, because you're just like, that sounded gross, or like that this guy is insane, he just sounds nuts. So maybe something like that. But overall, though, I think the sound effects were good and the music was just fine in the game. But Blasphemous 2, maybe a different story. Well, you know, I'll have to do another throwback review on that. We'll both play that one. But
yeah.
And then you do meet some characters as well. Actually, one of the characters is on the screen right now. Voice acting is good. If we're going to talk about voice acting, very good in the game. Very creepy and grim and eerie for some of the characters. You never really know who to trust. So that and to me, that's like a good sign of some great voice acting. It's not just like the words that they're saying, but just the fact that you're like, I don't know, this person maybe sounds a little untrustworthy, but the things they're saying seem trustworthy. I don't really know. So that was definitely good from the sound part of things as well. So that's where I am with the sound, Tom. I had a lot of notes on that one, more than the average game, I would say.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. I don't really remember a whole lot from it, but maybe that's why. But yeah. How did it perform?
Performed great, yeah, for me. Yeah, I think this game, you know, with it being on all the systems, I could see it running well on Switch as well. And you got it on mobile, so it's on iOS as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just actually came out like a couple months ago, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely as a well-optimized game. I didn't have any issues, even with controls, nothing like that. Everything was perfect.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Yeah.
And let's get to our ratings. Our ratings are as follows. Certified Fresh Juices, our best games. These are Baltro, Preserve, Norp Apologue, Mudborne. Asteel is Ballionaire, Crypt Custodian, Cub. Good games. Not the greatest, but really good. We recommend them. On Sale, games that have some flaws but have really redeeming qualities as well. Wizard with a Gun, Hellskate are good options there. And then Manager Special, these are things we would get on deep discount or free to play or just like a really unique genre of sorts. And then finally, Spoiled Milk, games we don't recommend for anyone. What do you got?
All right, so this one was an interesting one because I found myself, if I'm being honest, going from Asteel to Certified Fresh Juice and back and forth. Because I was like, I love everything about the game, but I also do feel like it's like so heavily inspired by the Souls games that it's like, I don't know. Sometimes when I give a Certified Fresh Juice, I want it to feel more original, kind of. But I still think I'm gonna give it a low. It's funny, you gave last week Mudborne a low Certified Fresh Juice. I'm going to give Blasphemous a low Certified Fresh Juice. with the potential for Blasphemous 2 to be like a real banger of a certified fresh juice. Not that there's like really, you know, different levels to each rating that we do, but I just, you know, that's just how kind of expressing it, because it is a really great game. And especially like for someone like you that, like, you know, you weren't familiar with like Souls likes. I don't even know if that was really a term in 2019 that was used often, at least. But the fact that you just got into it because it looked cool and like you were happy with the game, you know, goes to show that it's just it's a great game. It's not just like a copy of Dark Souls. It's just like, you know, as I'm playing this, I'm like, did From Software make this game? Like, it just seems so similar. But I'm giving a low certified fresh juice. I mean, the second I started playing this game, I was in. So to me, it's like, regardless of what it's similar to, it's just like, yeah, this is a game for me. So why wouldn't I give it a certified fresh juice? So boom, there it is, Tommy.
Awesome.
Certified fresh.
I'm glad you got to play it because it is, it feels like it was a kind of a moment in time for Souls-likes in general, right? Because like maybe we had a couple of 2D ones that were trying to do the same thing, but this one kind of probably was closest to like doing the actual thing. I felt like for a while some Metroidvanias were trying to do the Shadow of Colossus thing, right? And some did it better than others, and then Blasphemous was like, you know what, we want to do this instead. And it worked a little bit better in the Metroidvania like style. Like, it just, because you also get the really cool exploration and stuff like that, which is really trademark of those kinds of games. But hey, glad you enjoyed it, buddy. Yeah. Do have listener questions, as always. These can be submitted on the Fresh Juice Discord. We don't know what we're playing next week yet, but we'll discuss that. Kmore, our dear friend Kmore, comes in and asks, which video game protagonist and villain would you have a drink with? I love this question.
Yeah, this is a good one. Which one would I have a drink with? Let me think about that. The first thing that comes to my mind is like Marcus Fenix from Gears of War. But I feel like if I had a drink with him, it would be like, I'd be so intimidated that's probably not that great of one, honestly. What are you thinking for this, Tom? I don't know. I gotta think about this one.
I gotta think about the antagonist.
Yeah,
but I think protagonist is like a game I don't think I've ever talked about on the podcast. It's a popular game, but I've never even mentioned that I've played it, but I think Arthur Morgan.
Oh, okay. Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead, yeah.
That makes sense to have a drink with him, right? Like, that would be kind of fun. I mean, he's like an anti-hero, I guess, in a way. He's an outlaw of sorts, yeah. but the protagonist in that story. So, Arthur Morgan for a protagonist. Antagonist? Jeez, the plant boss blind from Paltrow. I'm just looking at some stuff we've played. Even, jeez, I don't know really, to be honest. Let's see, antagonist. I wouldn't want to have a drink with like Bowser.
Right. Yeah. Who would want that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And Ganon?
Yeah, Ganon, Ganondorf. That would be kind of interesting. King DDD.
Yeah. You'd be putting him back.
Yeah, that's for sure. Jeez. Let's look at
Dr. Robotnik.
Maybe if it was Jim Carrey. Best video game villains.
We're just gonna
go through some.
For protagonist, maybe it would be like Nathan Drake.
Okay.
I was just looking at like from Uncharted. It'd just be cool to hear his stories, you know, of what he's done. That would be pretty cool. But Yeah, villains. This is a good one. This is a good one. I'm looking at a list.
Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat.
The tough thing for me is also, like, if you're having a drink with this villain, like, hopefully it's just a, you know, they're not trying to, like, kill also you or kill screw you over. Yeah, you know, like, it's, if it's just a drink, then Balder from God of War would be pretty cool. Okay. But if, as long as he wasn't trying to kill me,
I think, like, it would be a hilarious image, but to be sitting down having a drink with Pyramid Head from Silent Hill would be just, like, so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, antagonist is hard because, like, some of them are scary.
Yep. Yep. Too scary.
The Joker.
I'm the yeah.
Joker. Yeah, I think, like, I mean, yeah, I gotta go with Pyramid Head, I think, because that is just funny because they wouldn't really be able to really drink. So, yeah, that's kind of funny that, like, the bad guys are harder to think of than the good guys. All where, like, in movies, I feel like the bad guys are usually almost easier to think of sometimes.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
Hey, listen. Yeah. Good question, though, K-More. I like that one a lot. Next question comes from Capolo. Which is your favorite soundtrack / original soundtrack for an indie video game?
I mean, Wizard with a Gun, it made an impression on me. I think that is really, you know, just unique soundtrack that's, like, unique to Wizard with a Gun, I would say, like, or at least I think it is when I hear it. I also love Balatro. Like, I know, like, getting a great track that can, like, doesn't feel repetitive truly, and, like, I don't know, you can, like, kind of bob your head to it while you're playing. It's good thinking kind of music. I think that's really great. I, you know, I don't know if I'd, like, listen to it in my car or something like that, but yeah, I don't know. First thing that came to my mind was Wizard with a Gun. And I will say, just as a note, recently, like, I've been loving, like, the 33 Immortals soundtrack, just because it's, like, so epic. And, like, mm-hmm. I sometimes I'll play it on the TV, Maria will just be like, she'll be, like, reading her, like, fantasy book, and she's like, the music is perfect for this. I'm like, oh yeah, it's, like, it's awesome. But yeah, I don't know, it's tough for me to have, like, a favorite. I guess it would be Wizard with a Gun, because that's one I've actually looked up on Spotify and, like, listened to in the background pretty often.
Yeah, Wizard with a Gun's great. Baltro I have on my Spotify. You know, you know that was a fiver.
Really?
Yeah, that was a fiver. Wow. So Lewis F., the composer of the Baltro soundtrack, was reached out to by Local Thunk on Fiverr and, you know, made, like, that's an iconic soundtrack at this point. I mean, it is the same theme, like, or same motif, but, like, vastly different if you actually listen to it. And really cool time signature as well. It's a good one. I own the Loop Hero soundtrack on vinyl. I also own the Wild Frost soundtrack on vinyl. So those got to be in conversation. Loop Hero is one of those ones that, like, I like just popping on and just kind of getting lost in that world. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, 33 Immortals is also pretty sick. But that's, like, recency bias, I think. But also, I'm not, like, a huge, like, metalhead, but Slain Back from Hell had a pretty badass soundtrack as well. So,
yeah.
And Celeste, actually, to you know, bring up another great game that had a great soundtrack. So, great question, Capolo. Arcarb asks, do you prefer paying a higher price for a game and have everything included, or do you prefer a lower price game but all the enhancements need to be done through in-app purchases or, you know, DLCs and stuff?
I prefer to pay a higher price for a game that has everything included. And not at, like, an insanely higher price, but I'd rather buy, like Helldivers, for example, I felt like, you know, it's like a $40 game, I believe, which is like a little pricier to like recommend to someone. I feel like, you know, we're like, hey, we should all get Helldivers. That's like, that's $160 in total for four people to get it. So definitely not like super cheap. But I also felt like it was a game that had they weren't nickel and diming you, really. Mm-hmm. You can find the premium currency when you play each like level that you go down into, or each run. So you can end up really just playing the game for just $40. If you want to end up spending more money, you can. But I don't know. Yeah, I've always just preferred, I've just felt really satisfied lately when I buy a game and I'm just like, oh, this is like a full game. You know, there's no, you know, extra DLC that I need. That's like, you know, new content, like they're promising like maybe like free updates. Like I just playing like Split Fiction. I know that was like a Rec Room. Like that's that studio said they'll never do microtransactions. So I had no, I think it was $50. So like cheaper than, you know, games are getting like $70 now. So I was like, this is great. Like I'm going to get a lot of hours out of this. It's going to be fun. Yeah. So I think we kind of went through like a big era of like cheaper games that like maybe never got finished. So they felt like a money grab, or like just a lot of microtransactions in these games. So I always appreciate when a game comes out and it's like, you know, it's just a full game and they're not trying to like get me with a bunch of microtransactions. So that's what I'm thinking. Tommy, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you, but I will say not all microtransactions are created equal. Like
yeah.
Cosmetics, do that as much as you want. If you want to like yeah. knock a like $10 or $20 off the actual price and like offer cosmetic microtransaction, I'm like all about it. It gets a little, the waters get a little bit muddied when it's like in-game content and stuff like that. I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, for Smash Ultimate, I did buy the full package where you got every single DLC character and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it was worth it. Like, you know, these characters are awesome and it's Nintendo. So like, you know, whatever, you know, you're getting a good product. So,
yeah, I feel like they're almost like the perfect example of like mm-hmm. buy a game and it's the full game.
Yeah.
Usually, right. Which is great. Yeah. I mean, there's been so many times with like studios, like, you know, like EA, I mm-hmm. remember, I think with like, it's not around anymore. Unfortunately, it was a fun game, Evolve. They actually, before the game was out, it was like an alpha. They had already released their plans for like a season pass and you could like pre-order it. And people were like, well, the game's not even done yet. Like
yeah.
it's just a really bad sign. And a few other studios did that as well. So, but I agree, like not all microtransactions are made equal. I mean, I just bought a bunch of 33 Immortals cosmetics from the shop. It was like $30 worth, but I'm having a great time with it. And I like those sort of microtransactions because it's a way for you to support the devs. If you're really enjoying something, you know, you could be like, hey, I want to get these skins and yeah. throw some money their way.
And you're like running around in this game and being like, I love this game. What about you guys?
Yeah.
Obviously I like it. Why don't you have these skins now?
Yeah.
Start pressuring them. But good question, Arcarp, as always. You know what else is good? The Rec what? Room. Oh. The Rec Room's pretty good. That's where we hang out and recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. What do you have to recommend this week, Matthew?
So I'm actually recommending an app that is, it is an AI app, all right?
Uh-oh.
But it's called Vetted, V-E-T-T-E-D, Vetted AI. And it actually, I've used it a little bit and it's been pretty impressive so far. But I am someone that whenever I buy something, right, if I'm buying a vacuum cleaner, if I'm buying a part for my computer, whatever it is, I do like an exhaustive amount of research. I'm on Reddit reading people's opinions. I'm on YouTube watching people's reviews of it because I want to see what it looks like. I'm on Amazon, like looking at the videos of that people upload in their reviews, all that sort of stuff, because I want to make sure, you know, I'm buying the best thing I can for the money. And there's even a buy it for life Reddit subreddit that I go on every now and then because it's people saying, oh, like, you know, what's a buy it for life ice cream scooper. And it's like, oh, this one, it'll never break. I don't know, whatever it is. Just people's like true experiences. So this app Vetted is just an AI that basically does all that research for you. It looks at Reddit. It looks at all the reviews, like true reviews, not just like paid for reviews. And yeah, you can be like, you know, what's the best lawnmower? And it'll aggregate all that stuff for you pretty quickly and give you kind of a summary of everything. So, you know, I would sometimes spend like days, like, you know, not consecutively, but sometimes I'd be like, I spend an hour today, maybe an hour tomorrow, I'd be looking at something. And then the third day I'm like, all right, I think I'm ready to buy it. Like even for the Steam Deck, I've looked at like videos and stuff. Cause I'm just like, I just want to see like, what is it like to have a Steam Deck, you know, because I want to know is like, is it something I want? I don't know. I need to like see other people's experiences with it before I buy it. And Vetted has helped out a lot with a few things that I've used it for. So check it out. Vetted AI. I think it's a cool way to use AI. It does save me time. So there you go. I think it's on iOS and Android. I have it on Android, but I imagine it's on iOS.
It is on iOS.
There you go. There's a few different like competitors of it too. So I honestly don't know if they're any better, but this is the one I've tried out.
It's interesting. I don't think that you would even have to like say that it's AI. It's weird that they advertise it, because it's like, if they were just like, hey, this is, you can compare everything. Right.
Yeah. Well, I think also like AI is like a hot term right now. Yeah, so like, yeah, you know, people might be more like, I found it through like this guy on Twitter I follow that talks about AI. Mm. So I was like, you know, he might not have posted about it if,
interesting.
Yeah. If it wasn't, but yeah. Yeah. Definitely. It's one of those things where like, yeah, it could just be some proprietary system you have that does all this sort of stuff. Right. Doesn't need to be AI. Just like Snopes, right? Snopes doesn't need to be AI. And it's not.
It's not?
No.
Oh.
I mean, maybe to some extent.
yeah, I mean, there's always some kind of background stuff going on. But yeah, it sounds interesting. I mean, I'm a buy it and regret it later guy. So, but I know my wife likes to do her research. So maybe she'll be looking into that. My rec room this week is also AI.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding. It is. It is. So if anybody knows Fritos, they like 20 years ago came out with Frito Twist, right? Flavor Twist. It was honey barbecue.
Yeah.
Arguably on the Mount Rushmore of snack chips here in the States. I don't know about abroad. And it was so weird, right? I always thought it was so weird, especially as I got into the CPG world in my last job, right? Why did we get a brand of Fritos that made it seem like we were going to get a ton more flavors, and then we just got honey barbecue and that's it, right? It felt like kind of a missed opportunity. Now, honey barbecue was kind of a home run. So like maybe they were like, maybe we don't want to take away from that horse. Like I understand, like you want to like let that one shine. 20 years is a long time, I will say. But I'm happy to say they now have the second flavor out in stores, at least from what I can tell, because I've bought multiple bags. It's Fritos Flavor Twist Queso.
So
like a spicy cheese one. Ooh. Yeah. It is good. It's good. It's very good. It's like, I don't want to say better than honey barbecue, but it's, I want to mix a bowl of them both together.
That's what I was going to ask. Cause like, you think that would be good? I feel like
it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know,
is that true too? Like this is truly the second flavor of Frito Twist they've ever done.
I'm almost, okay. So I've actually done some research. So Frito Twist, they did come out with queso before, but it failed, right? And they brought it back and they changed the packaging on it.
Okay.
The original packaging actually looked like the garbage. So I understand why it's working now and it wasn't working before. But as far as I can tell, oh, wait a second. 2 weeks ago. Maybe they're starting to do it. Cheddar Buffalo? What the
hell? Oh, my God.
Stop it. Maybe they're bringing a bunch out now. This is good
maybe
news.
Some guy at Frito-Lay was like, I got an idea.
Well, shout out my boy.
Make another twist.
Sergeant Snipes, who's in my other Discord, the Buzz Discord, works for Frito-Lay, always gives me the hot goss on what's coming out. He probably thinks I'm really weird because I'm like, hey, I know somebody in the chip world.
So he told you about these? Did you just lose your shit?
He had told me about them at one point, and then I kind of forgot about them, and then I was in ShopRite not too long ago, and I was like, there they are!
Shit.
Give them to me right now! And I bought one bag, and I ate them, and I was like, those are pretty good. And I was at ShopRite again, getting ready for a party that I had, and I was like, well, I might as well grab a couple more for me, you know?
Yeah.
The old Tommy boy over here for the old Fresh Lord. Can't really
very
hurt.
Nice.
So, yeah. So you know, that cheddar buffalo is real.
Yeah, and you know, Chipotle went through the same thing with their queso. When they first came out with queso, it got they had to bring it back to like the lab because it wasn't good or something.
Really?
And now they have queso blanco. So is this a queso blanco or yellow queso?
No, this is queso. The branding on the original one had like an orange, not that there's anything wrong with that because we are a orange-themed podcast, an orange background on like behind where the queso part was, where if you know the honey barbecue has that nice like kind of bluish background, kind of contrasts the yellow and oranges going on the top with the Frito. So that one didn't do well, right? The kind of monochromatic branding. They brought it back with the queso, purple background behind the queso part with the chips, and then also a little illustrated bowl of queso to kind of really punctuate what we're trying to have here at Frito-Lay.
So that's the art. What did you think about the performance?
The performance is good, man. The gameplay, great. Sound, crunchy. It was...
The story's good.
Lacking. Yeah. It's kind of a roguelike-y kind of experience because you just keep doing it over and over again, hoping that it's different. But
20 years in development, though.
I mean, I don't know if it's 20 years in development. I just, like... it was so mind-boggling to me. I gotta look up this.
It is crazy.
Buffalo. Sorry. You guys have to stick around for this. Buffalo cheddar. Frito.
Buffalo cheddar. I like to see like a sour cream and onion one, you know? I think that could be good. Maybe even like a buffalo like blue cheese kind of thing.
Buffalo
could be cool.
Blue cheese. Oh wait, the cheddar buffalo is 10 days ago this was spotted. Oh yeah, wow. 10 days ago. Found at the Dollar General.
Oh my God. It's out. A third flavor. Breaking news.
They were all of them deceived. For another flavor was made. Oh man, that looks good.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah. Holy smokes. Yeah, little blue cheese ones. You know, hey, listen, I understand the way of the world is the way it is. A cool ranch Frito twist probably wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, so, maybe like a jalapeno pickle.
Jalapeno pickle? A pickle jalapeno?
Pickle jalapeno.
I mean, I would think jalapeno cheddar for sure.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Fritos, if you're out there, we know that you are. Thank you.
Yep.
For your service. But this has been another episode of Fresh Juice. Sorry to go off on that tangent. I was excited. I have been one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh. You can find me on all socials at Fresh Buds Pod. I have another podcast called Fresh and Buds. Check it out. I did a mailbag last week. This week, it should be the legendary Dagan White on the show. So check that out. And you can find us on all socials at Fresh Juice Pod. Where can people find you, Matthew?
Find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M, on all the social networks that are on your device. There you go. Frito away.
I was just reading this Reddit post about these chips, folks.
Yeah, good sentiment. People liking it?
I think I gotta find out for myself, and maybe by the time we do another episode, I'll have reported back. Although cool. I will be in the UK, so I don't think they have anything of flavor there. So we will see. Thank you all so much, and goodbye. Juicy, juicy, juicy.